Our first reading is from the book of the Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 to 13 and 50 to 51, and will be read to us by Glenys.
The Passover. The two spoke to Moses and Aaron. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Egypt. This month is to be the first month of the year for you. Give these instructions to the whole community of Israel. On the 10th day of this month, each man must choose either a lamb or a young goat for his household. If his family is too small to eat a whole animal, he and his next door neighbor may share an animal in proportion to the number of people and the amount that each person can eat. You may choose either a sheep or a goat. It must be a one-year-old male without any defects. Then on the evening of the 14th day of the month, the whole community of Israel will kill the animals. The people are to take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts above the doors of the houses in which the animals are to be eaten. That night the meat is to be roasted and eaten with bitter herbs and with bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled, but eat it roasted whole, including the head, the legs, and the internal organs. You must not leave any of it until morning. If anything of it is left over, it must be burnt. You are to eat it quickly, for you are to be dressed for travel with your sandals on your feet and your stick in your hand. It is the Passover festival to honour men, to honour me, the Lord. On that night I will go through the land of Egypt, killing every firstborn male, both human and animal, and punishing all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood of the doorposts will be a sign to mark the houses in which you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over and will not harm you when I punish the Egyptians. And then 50 to 51. All the Israelites obeyed and did what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. On that day, the Lord brought the Israelite tribes out of Egypt. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Our second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 to 16, and chapter 27, verses 15 to 23. It'll be read to us by Chris.
Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 16. And you can find this on page 30 of the Good News Bible. The triumphant entry into Jerusalem. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. There, Jesus sent two of the disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village ahead of you, and there you will find a donkey tied up with her colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything, tell him the master needs them, and then he will let them go at once. This happened in order to make what the prophet had said come true. Tell the city of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble and rides on a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did what Jesus had told them to do. They brought the donkey and the colt, threw their cloaks over them, and Jesus got on. A large crowd of people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds walking in front of Jesus and those walking behind began to shout, "Praise to David's son! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was thrown into an uproar. "Who is he?" the people asked. "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee," the crowds answered. Jesus went into the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the stalls of those who sold pigeons, and said to them, "It is written in the scriptures that God said, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer.' But you are making it a hideout for thieves." The blind and the crippled came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The chief priests and the teachers of the law became angry when they saw the wonderful things he was doing, and the children shouting in the temple, "Praise to David's son!" So they asked Jesus, "Do you hear what they are saying?" "Indeed I do," answered Jesus. "Haven't you ever read this scripture? You have trained children and babies to offer perfect praise." And a reading from Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 to 23, which you can find on page 42 of the Good News Bible. Jesus is sentenced to death. At every Passover festival, the Roman governor was in the habit of setting free any one prisoner the crowd asked for. At that time, there was a well-known prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. So, when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to set free for you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus called the Messiah?" He knew very well that the Jewish authorities had handed Jesus over to him because they were jealous. While Pilate was sitting in the judgment hall, his wife sent him a message. "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, because in a dream last night I suffered much on account of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask Pilate to set Barabbas free and have Jesus put to death. But Pilate asked the crowd, "Which one of these two do you want me to set free for you?" "Barabbas," they answered. "What then shall I do with Jesus called the Messiah?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they answered. But Pilate asked, "What crime has he committed?" Then they all started shouting at the tops of their voices, "Crucify him!" This is the word of the Lord.
On the first Palm Sunday, there were many Jews who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover festival, which took place about the beginning of April. They were there to celebrate the freeing of the Jewish people from their captivity in Egypt, which took place between 1300 and 1500 years earlier. The book of Exodus tells the story of how, when the Jewish people were eating their Passover meal in Egypt, God killed the firstborn Egyptians, but passed over the Jews and spared them. Hence the name Passover. Because of this, the Egyptian ruler, the Pharaoh, decided to expel the Jews from Egypt. To celebrate their freedom, the Jewish families continued to gather together each year for a Passover meal, as Jesus did with his friends at the Last Supper, and as Jewish people still do today. This is the famous picture by Leonardo da Vinci, his view of the Last Supper, that she painted in Milan in 1497. According to ancient Egyptian records, a group of foreigners came to Egypt and rose to prominent positions in the country before being overthrown and expelled. These indeed may be the Jews recorded in the books of Genesis and Exodus in the Bible. A matter of interest for those who would like to learn a little more about the historical background to the events recorded in the Bible, the Reverend John Campbell, minister of High Cross Tottenham, will be leading an evening looking for the Bible in the British Museum from 6:30 to 8 on the 20th of April. And details, if you're interested and would like to book a place, are in the April newsletter. Matthew's Gospel was written primarily for Jewish converts to Christianity. The author seeks to show that Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was in fulfillment of a prophecy made by Zechariah in about 520 BC. This stated that a future king would ride on a donkey into Jerusalem, both in triumph and in humility. When Jesus rode in Jerusalem, the people laid down their cloaks and tree branches under the donkey's hooves. They shouted praise to God and called Jesus the Son of David, the one who came in the name of the Lord and a prophet. Many were probably hoping that he would be the promised one and would save them from Roman rule, as Moses, of course, had done to their ancestors and saved them from the Egyptians. This picture that we're looking at now, showing Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, is a picture in the Palatine Chapel in Palermo in Sicily, dates from the 12th century. However, less than a week after Palm Sunday, Jesus was a prisoner. Many Jewish people who were disappointed that Jesus had not saved them from the Romans may have turned against him on Good Friday, when they are encouraged by Jewish leaders to call for his death. Obviously, not all the people on both occasions were the same, but if we see what happened in those few days, we will better understand why some people were calling for Jesus' death. About a quarter of the Gospels are devoted to the events of the last week of Jesus' life on earth, and Jesus said and did a lot in those few days. He upset the money changers in the temple in Jerusalem. He overturned their tables so that they would lose their profitable trade when Jews came to change their Roman coins into special Jewish coins for use only in the temple and to buy doves as offerings to God. In this Renaissance painting, you can see Jesus overturning the temple, the tables of the money changers, and in the bottom corner, you can see the doves the people would have purchased. The chief priests and teachers of the law became angry when Jesus healed the blind and disabled in the temple, and children shouted praise to David's son. Here we can see a picture of Jesus healing the blind. In the parable of the two sons, Jesus told a story where one son said that he would not work in his father's vineyard, but changed his mind. And the other son said that he would work in the vineyard, but did not. Jesus used this parable to compare the Jewish leaders unfavorably with tax collectors and prostitutes, because those Jewish leaders did not practice what they preached. This is a picture showing Jesus, showing the father with his two sons. Members of the Jewish religious groups, the Pharisees and Sadducees, tried several times to trick Jesus by asking him questions on various theological issues, but they were unable to trap him. You can see in this picture here. As a result of these and other events, the various Jewish religious leaders saw Jesus as a threat to their authority, and they plotted to get rid of him. As only the local Roman ruler in Judea, the procurator Pontius Pilate, could authorize an execution, the Jewish leaders had to persuade him to sentence Jesus to death by convincing him that the Jewish people wanted Jesus dead. Pilate wanted to please the crowd and was afraid that an adverse report about him might be sent to the Roman Emperor Tiberius. In fact, this did happen a few years later, and Pontius Pilate was replaced as the procurator of Judea. This painting here by Giotto in the Scrivani Chapel in Padua dates from 1313 and shows Jesus before Pilate and then being scourged. See Pilate there over on the right and then Jesus being scourged on the left. The events of Good Friday show how various people were persuaded by others. Less than a week earlier, a crowd had cried in praise to God as Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Now Jewish leaders were encouraging a crowd to call for his death. It's not easy to speak out against what appears to be the majority. It's much easier to follow the wishes of those who are very vociferous in expressing their views, or even just to remain quiet, or even to stay away from crowds, as no doubt many did on that first Good Friday. What would we have done if we had been there? Would we have spoken out in support of Jesus or said nothing? We've all seen or heard of examples where people have been influenced by others. Some have been encouraged to do good and help those in need or to work with others for the common good, whereas others have been persuaded to do evil things. Some people have been influenced verbally, on an individual basis, or in religious schools, or at mass rallies. Some have been affected by what they read in books or newspapers or hear on the radio or television. Now, I'm sure many of you have been abroad, and if you go into the hotels often, you look in the drawer, you can find in nominally Christian countries a copy of the Gideon Bible. But, of course, it's not only in Christian countries that you find a book like that. If, for example, you go to Japan or South Korea, in addition to a copy of the New Testament, you might find a copy of the teachings of the Buddha. And if you go to Iran and some other Muslim countries, there'll be a copy of the Quran in English, together with a prayer mat, an indication of where Mecca is, so that those who wish to pray can do so. And if you ever go to the United States, to Salt Lake City in Utah, you might well find a copy of the Book of Mormon in your hotel bedroom. Increasingly, people are getting ideas from text messages on mobile phones or through the internet on their computer. Some have been encouraged by advertisements to buy goods and services they did not know they needed or wanted. Some have been enticed to gamble away their money in the hope of getting rich. Some have been persuaded to verbally or physically abuse others because of their political or religious beliefs, their ethnic origins, nationality, class, gender, or sexual orientation. If only to think of recent attacks on various groups and individuals, both in Britain and abroad. I mean, this is brought home by the events of only yesterday. What Jesus said and did should be our guide when we make up our minds on both so-called secular and religious issues. Let us not forget, as we look forward to Easter, that Jesus died to save us all. Many people throughout the world are still ridiculed, persecuted, and even killed for being Christians. In Britain today, we are free to choose to show our belief in God's love for all so that others may come to know and love him. May we praise God as those pilgrims did on Palm Sunday, but not be part of the crowd like those who were content to see Jesus condemned to death on Good Friday.